Well, hello there. Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam. It is so wonderful to have you along. And I want to talk about something very important, something that so many people struggle with. Despite dreams that many of us have, we do end up failing to achieve our life ambitions. I mean, many people talk about starting a business or becoming financially independent, expanding their business, writing a novel or traveling or anything that they really, really want to do. However, most of the times their objectives go unfulfilled. And we are going to talk about more about that with Dr. Larry Waldman. He is a licensed clinical forensic psychologist and certified school psychologist in Phoenix, Arizona. He has conducted a highly successful private practice for the last 37 years, working with children, teens, parents, couples, and adults in a solution-focused manner. He consults with personal injury, domestic relations, estate planning, and immigration attorneys. In addition to his clinical work, Waldman was the past president of Maricopa Psychological Society and the director of psychological services for Charter Psychiatric Hospital of Glendale from 1988 to 2000. He has been a medical consultant for the Social Security Office in Phoenix, Arizona for 22 years, and he's also an adjunct graduate professor in the Educational Psychology Department for Northern Arizona University for 15 years and is an official guide or a top expert on parentingforselfgrowth.com and has served on the professional board of directors of Not My Kid, a charitable organization, for 6 years. In addition to numerous articles which have been published in the local Phoenix media and the national press, Dr. Waldman has written 5 books, and they are called Who's Raising Whom? A Parent's Guide to Effective Child Discipline, which has sold over 25,000 copies, Coping with Your Adolescent, How Come I Can't Love Him But Can't Live With Him, Making Your Marriage Better, The Graduate Course You Never Had, and How to Develop, Manage, and Market a Flourishing Mental Health Practice With and Without Managed Care, and Too Busy Earning a Living to Make Your Fortune, Discover the Psychology of Achieving Your Life Goals. Dr. Waldman is also a trained public speaker. His seminars are organized, practical, entertaining, offering just completely edutainment. For the past 25 years, he has spoken across the country to educators, laypersons, corporations, attorneys, and fellow mental health professionals. He has done numerous media presentations on local and national radio and television programs, including a spot on the Phil Donahue show in 2003. And he has presented at several state and national conventions. Wow, 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 what an accomplished man. I'd love to take this opportunity to welcome Dr. Waldman. Hello, doctor. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. I've actually never heard my bio read aloud before.
Yes, wow, I'm amazed at how much you've done. Wow, wow, wow. Amazing. So we have a very, very interesting topic to cover today, and we are going to talk about why so many people do not fulfill their dreams and meet their goals. So I'm going to ask one question. Why? What is the primary reason that so many people get stuck in a rut, so to speak?
Well, I believe there are several. I've been in practice a long time. I guess I didn't accomplish many of the things you mentioned without getting older, long in the tooth, I guess. And over the years of talking with many clients, I've had probably hundreds of sessions with people where they just bemoan the fact that they have not accomplished what they set out to do. I think one of the first reasons is this notion of needing immediate gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Our society, especially today, is I want it now. I
mm-hmm.
need it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I see so many young people that are focused on the now, needing it now, and just can't you can't settle in and focus on a long-term goal. When you make an investment, for example, you're putting off immediate gratification. You're taking money that you could play with today, and you're investing it and hoping, of course, that sometime in the future you will receive a larger reward. That's the nature of business, if you will. But many people can't do that. They can't put off that gratification, and they basically eat their seed corn, if you will, and and do things now. They spend money now instead of saving it. Again, they don't invest, and so on. In doing the research on my latest book, the one that, in fact, what we're talking about is discussed in that book, Too Busy Earning a Living to Make Your Fortune, research indicated to me that 57% of seniors who retire today have no other financial resource but Social Security.
Oh, wow.
So in other words, most people are basically spending every dime they make.
Yeah, and you know what? I know of some people who do go to the other extreme as well, where they have so much saved, and yet they're so stingy. I don't think that's good either. I think you need to find a balance.
No argument here. Of course, yes. There needs to be a balance. I mean, as they say, you can't take it with you. So, you want to find a balance where, on one hand, you have a secure future, or you're moving toward the goals that you've set out. But at the same time, you certainly want to have some fun along the way.
Absolutely, because life is short, as we know. All right. Well, you know what? That actually makes a lot of sense, because you are right. People want it now, and they want it now. They don't want to wait. They don't want to be patient. So I can see that is certainly a recipe for financial disaster later on. However, that's not the only reason that many people do not fulfill their dream. Many people do not fulfill their dreams. So what is another reason that can block people from meeting their goals?
Another significant reason is good old-fashioned fear.
I knew it.
This comes in two parts, as I believe it. First off, fear of change. The old expression, what do you fear more, the devil you know or the devil you don't? And I see people many times who, while they're unhappy and uncomfortable in their current situation, at least it's familiar to them. And they're not willing to step out and try something new or try something different. So that fear keeps them stuck. The other fear, the second fear, is of course one that's probably familiar to most of us, and that's the fear of failure. To take the risk and try something new, but not only is it new, but it also brings on the possibility that you could fail at it. And for many people, that keeps them absolutely immobilized.
Yeah, and another question I want to ask, do you think maybe there's an element of fear of success too?
You know, I do talk about that in my book as well. Yes, I've had a number of people who have said that, well, you know, if they really did become successful, people would have higher expectations of them. And they're not sure they could live up to that. I've had people say people would start asking me for money or favors and things like that. Some people, yes, have that fear. To some extent, I think that's a rationalization, if you will. But, yes, it is a fear I have heard of.
Because this is also what I think, too. If they are fearful of being successful, it's foreign to them. They've never been successful before, so it's a change. And many people are also terrified of change. That's what my thinking is. What do you think?
Well, yes, but your point about it being unfamiliar is true. I mentioned my latest book that there are I refer to many, for example, athletes who start out poor, if you will, but then because they're such a great athlete, they get a huge contract and they play their sport for maybe a couple of years. But then a few years after they're done playing, they're poor again. Because again, being wealthy is unfamiliar to them. They don't know what to do with it, and they end up going back to where they were before. Because if nothing else, that was familiar to them.
Right. So I think personally the best solution for people who really do want to make a change yet are afraid due to the reasons that we've already discussed is to make very small attainable goals, make very small increments. If they reach one very small goal, great. Make another one just a little bit, like another notch up, meet that. And then, it's slow. Instead of just worrying about attaining a huge goal that is scaring them, right? They need to do it very slowly. And I think that might actually help them achieve their goals and fulfill their dreams if they look at it that way. However, that also means that the need for gratification is going to have to be laid down, if you will, if you're doing that. But I think that's personally the best way. I mean, I know that's helped me in many ways, making very small goals and meeting them and just notching them up. Each time one goal is met, make something a little bit bigger and then a little bit bigger, and then you'll do fine if you keep consistent with it.
Again, I couldn't agree more. What you described is the cornerstone of behavioral psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, what you noted is called the success of approximations to target behavior, and that's exactly what behavioral psychologists do. Many times at the conclusion of a session, I will say to my patient, "So, what's the first thing you're going to do tomorrow to get you one step closer to your goal?"
Good. Yeah. This way, this will keep them on track, and this will help them achieve their goals and fulfill their dreams. Now, another point I want to bring out is I also know that what we've discussed are not the only reasons that so many people do not fulfill their dreams. I believe it also has to do with the way they were raised. If their parents were poor, they're going to believe that that's what they're meant to be, is poor. If their parents were very stingy, if their parents had a lot of money, yet they were very stingy, that's what they're also going to believe too. So do you think that is also a factor?
No question about it. I don't want to make this a psychology lesson, but I just referred to behavioral psychology just a minute ago or so. But now we're referring to analytic psychology, but I think it's very applicable, because what we're talking about here is what did we learn, as we grew up, and you're absolutely right. We learn lots of things from our parents as children, because we accept as kids, things pretty much at face value. And and one of the many values that we learn as kids is an attitude toward money. Technically, we refer to it as our financial blueprint, if you will. But how we how we view money and how we see money has a lot to do with how successful we become. If you don't mind, could I just tell a quick story that illustrates this?
Yes, please. Yes.
I think it's cute and it really tells a tale. I met with a couple, hardworking blue collar couple, several months back. Dad ran a little landscaping business with his brother, and Mom ran her own house cleaning service, in fact, with her sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this little boy who was not doing very well in school. But as they described him, it sounded to me like perhaps this little boy was actually rather bright and was probably bored. At any rate, I asked to see him. And so a week later, I had a session with little Robert, and you know, I bring him into my office and we sit down and so forth, and I should mention, by the way, that Robert on weekends often accompanied his father or his mother, you know, on their jobs. So anyhow, I'm sitting down with Robert and I introduce myself, you know, as Dr. Waldman, and I'm a psychologist, and what a psychologist does for his work. I said, as I sit here and I talk and I listen and I ask questions and I give advice, and as I'm speaking, Robert suddenly interrupts me and says, "This isn't work." And I said, "Excuse me?" And little Robert says, "This isn't work. We're sitting here in like a den, and you're just talking to me. This is not work," he says.
Oh, wow.
And it just struck me. I mean, this bright little boy, you know, obviously is so intuitive and so forth. But it also showed me that in this little boy's mind, what's work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, work is hard labor. You know, it's either digging a hole or raking, or mopping a floor, or wiping down a counter. So you see, even though this little boy, you know, is clearly very, very bright, I'm afraid that the odds are, you know, he, like his parents, is probably going to make his living with his back rather than with his wonderful mind.
And that's part
of this, what I call this financial blueprint, because this little boy already at 7 or 8 has decided that the way you earn a living, you know, is to work with your back. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what happens in a lot of cases.
That sounds like it makes a lot of sense, because the way kids are raised, that's what they know, and that's what they believe is the right thing. That's what they believe is the only thing. So it makes complete sense that whatever your parents do, it gets passed down to you. However, as an adult, you have the power to change that. It's just, again, people are reluctant. A lot of people are reluctant to do it because they're so used to being a certain way, and change scares them. So
you're right.
Let
me just add to that, if I might.
Okay.
You know, think about how many times kids are sitting at the dinner table and the parents say things like, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. You know, it takes money to make money. In some homes, they even criticize rich people.
Yes.
Rich people are snobs, and so on. Rich people don't care about other people, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the child is sitting there and listening to this, and obviously learning that, okay, I guess I don't want to be rich then.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's true. A lot of people have preconceived ideas about rich people, and I believe there's also an element of jealousy there too.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So another thing, too, now that we're on to that, I also think that a lot of people fail to reach their dreams and meet their goals is because a lot of them don't think they deserve it.
You're right. You're right. It's very true. I like to say we don't get what we deserve. We get what we believe we deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't believe we deserve things, then we're just not going to get it. We all learn very early in our lives that life isn't fair, and so on. And so if we are really going to be successful and achieve the things that we hope to do, we can't just wait for it to come. We have to go out and get it. And at the same time, we have to believe strongly that we deserve it and that we're worthy of it. And that's really important.
Yes.
One of my favorite little sayings is, don't wait for your ship to come in. Swim out to it.
You're right. Or if opportunity doesn't knock for you, then make yourself a door where it will.
I like that one too. Yeah.
I also am wondering as well, maybe there really isn't so much fear when it comes to some people who are not able to reach their goals. I think there's a lot of people who just have no idea what to do. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. No question. They have this vague notion that, okay, I want to be successful, or I want to be this or that, or I want to do this or that. But they don't have a plan, and so therefore, if you don't have a plan, then you don't know what to do. Again, this gets back to behavioral psychology. And regularly, frequently, I am asking clients to tell me what it looks like, what would I see, and so on, to get them to move from the subjective to the objective,
right.
where they can start seeing and measuring the things that they say they're going to do. Just the other day, in fact, I had a woman in my office and saying, well, my New Year's, you know, objective or resolution is I'm going to lose 30 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, all right, I get that. And so what's your plan? That was like, fine. So she told herself that she's going to lose 30 pounds, but she hadn't devised the plan, and how, like you were going to say, how she was going to go about it.
Right.
And that's when I said, all right, how about tomorrow morning? What's the first step you're going to take to move in that direction? What's your plan? What am I going to see? What is it going to look like? And so on. People have to develop a step-by-step plan, like you said earlier, where they can move from one small success, you know, to another. You know, losing 30 pounds starts with losing a half a pound.
Right.
And then another half a pound.
Right.
And so forth.
Right. Yep. And I think that's what also bothers people, and that goes back to the instant gratification issue. They don't like to just see small steps, even though that's really going to be the only way they're going to reach their goals. If they make mini goals and make sure that they meet them, make sure that these goals are attainable enough for them to meet. And then they'll feel, okay, great, I met this, so let's just keep going. And if they keep that going and they're consistent with it, then they're going to be fine. And another thing as well is that there are people who really do want to be successful. However, a lot of them just don't seem to have enough time, or really, they don't know how to manage their time.
Once again, I couldn't agree more. This brings up the title of my latest book, Too Busy Earning Your Living to Make Your Fortune. And I constantly see people doing just that. They're spending all their time doing things that really doesn't get them where they want to go, but by the end of the day, they are too exhausted and too frustrated, and without any time to go and do anything that could bring them some success.
Right,
so
right.
What people have to do, as you just suggested, is to manage their time better and actually set aside some time to work on their future goals. I understand that if you if you have a mortgage and you've got a car payment and you've got and you have a spouse and kids and so forth, you know, that it might be too big a risk to simply drop it all, drop your job and so forth, and embark on something brand new. I get that. I can understand that. But what you can do is set aside some time every week where you focus on your long-term goals and do things that bring you closer to your objective.
Yeah. As I was going to say, you can just do a lot. If you stick to, say, a half hour a day and you do it every day, that can go quite far. And that's another thing, too, that a lot of people just don't do. They figure they don't have enough time, but I don't see what a half an hour a day, what that really takes away. No matter how busy you are, you can find a half an hour a day to focus on what you want to do, because you also have to remember long-term goals. Well, you got to work on it every day in order to meet it, right? And another thing. Yeah, and another thing, we're almost out of time, so I just want to cover one last thing. A lot of people say, well, you know, there's so much I want to do. I have big dreams. However, I don't have the money for it. So what do you say about that one?
Well, it's very similar to the excuse of not enough time.
Not enough time, yeah.
You have to set aside some of that money, just a little bit, so that you can gather it and then use that to stake your new venture. Or if you have to, maybe you will take a weekend part-time job or an evening part-time job.
Sure.
Yes, I know it'd be difficult, but at least you know you're doing this for a short period of time and you're banking on your future.
Right. Yep, there are ways to do it. Or do some freelance work. There's a lot of people out there that need help with something. I mean, there's so many ways to make money. And it doesn't require that much time. Just keep consistent with it. All right, Larry, this was wonderful. Or should I say Dr. Waldman? it was great having you on. So one last question I'm going to ask you is, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, they can certainly contact me through email. My email address is LarryWaldmanPhD@Cox.net, and I welcome them to also view my website, which is TopPhoenixPsychologist.com.
Great.
All one word.
Great. Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Waldman. It was a pleasure having you on, and you've really, really given us some very, very valuable information. Thank you again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Have a wonderful week. I will be in touch with you again next week. Bye for now.